Welcome to Cartoonist Kayfabe. My name is Jim Rugg.
I'm Ed Piskor.
Little surprise today, Ed, a very big comic that we're going to dig into. But first, what's new? What's up with you?
Patreon.com/Ed Piskor is where I'm serializing my current comics project, Red Room. Webcam murder for fun and profit, and everybody gets away scot-free. $3 gets you the complete archive. Issue 1 is up there right now. It's for the early adopter, because it'll see a print edition in 2021 at some point. Just a little quick glimpse at a couple pages.
I can't believe how detailed these pages are. I love this silhouette scene with the open, like the fences being like the open part of the panel.
It's like a young Beavis and Butthead.
Very, very good looking comics.
What you got, Jimmy?
My latest comic, Octobriana 1976, world's first blacklight comic with fluorescent ink, is available wherever you buy comics now, online or in person. It's also available digitally through Comixology and or my website, jimrugg.com. There's also a 350-page process zine that has the making of, all the original art, drafts, everything you could want to know of what went into the making of this comic.
So, assuming that we didn't see the thumbnail for the video or the title, what are we going to be looking at, Jim?
Well, we're not going to be looking at the Star Wars or Batman versus the Hulk. These books are here to provide scale. These are your treasury size editions. I don't know what DC's, I guess they weren't called treasury size, but this was a popular size format in the 70s. At some point, this pops up where they're doing these oversized, really awesome, love this size.
Superman versus Muhammad Ali goes freaking gangbusters, and they're like, yo, let's print some more of these.
For sure. So I wanted to use those to kind of show off Destroy, and you'll notice it's a little bit bigger than these two even, but gives you some idea. I think treasury size is about what we're dealing with Scott McCloud's Destroy from 1986, published by Eclipse Comics. This is a 32-page black and white comic in the height of the black and white explosion, so pretty awesome. Scott McCloud, of course, you know, formalist, does Understanding Comics in the early 90s. That becomes like a textbook of the language of comics. Before that, had done Zot on both sides of Destroy, did a color series and then a black and white series, invented the 24-hour comic. So a formalist, a guy who's constantly thinking about kind of comics and the mechanics of how comics work. This is one of his, maybe lesser seen projects, but certainly applies all of his knowledge. You know, like this is a perfect, in terms of size, format, package, and story content, this thing works perfectly.
When Zot goes black and white, we start to see Scott McCloud's formalist points of view in that comic. Zot solely becomes a cipher for him, playing with essentially what becomes his rubric and his syllabus in Understanding Comics. This is of the same ilk. It's just exploring the Rob Liefeld section, before there was a Rob Liefeld, by the way. This is 1986, but that kind of energy, as opposed to the timing and rhythm of like Krigstein and Eisner, like he did in Zot, like this is going for the vulgar.
Yeah, and it surprises me because this is 1986, which would have put it even ahead of things like, you know, Watchmen and Dark Knight, that I think were criticized for their violence. This is kind of contemporary or done before those books were out and that conversation was happening. So this would make sense in the early 90s in response to all the criticisms of the Image comics as well. It's just a really interesting comic. It's in response to a review of Super Boxers that said it was mindless violence. So this is Scott McCloud doing mindless violence. Love this cover. You know, no redeeming social value instead of the comics code stamp of approval. Bye, bye, bye. Parents beware. Loudest comic book in the universe. Fabulous first issue. This is a gimmick.
It's William Castle, the Tingler. It's a exploitation kind of thing. You know, exploitation paperbacks, exploitation movies. Let's make an exploitation comic. And that's what we got here.
And some background. I read an interview with him from Amazing Heroes to prep for this, and he was talking about, like, at this time he had done some design work for Eclipse Comics, and he had also been doing the small press column in Amazing Heroes, so he had been thinking about and playing with a lot of small press, mini comics, all of these types of things. So he was taking in a lot of comics and thinking about comics in ways that maybe your typical cartoonist wasn't thinking about, you know, from the design to sort of the fringy things that people were doing.
He is one of the cartoonists that wasn't shy about using rapidograph on his pages, which was always said to be like such a huge no-no in your like how to draw comics the Marvel way, and then like in interviews and stuff with like good inkers and shit. But like seeing his rapidograph work sort of makes me happy. And he's one of the early adopters of manga and would have seen those ornate textured backgrounds that were almost architecturally constructed using very, you know, technical pens.
And I think I mentioned 1986 as publication date for this. So
Yeah.
One of my holy years in comics reading. And pretty much the story is, this is just a superhero fight. Mm-hmm. It's two superpowered characters fighting in New York City. And one of them starts out by just, I guess, property damage.
Yeah.
He's destroying everything. I love this panel. I see shades of even Chris Ware in a panel like this. Not that it's influencing Chris Ware, right, or vice versa, but if, you know, I mentioned if you love Image Comics, this is a really fun read. I think if you love Chris Ware, this is a fun read.
I think so, too. It's like some of the stuff that Chris Ware did with just even when he would dabble with the Golden Age style, where he's like talking in classic comics language, because that's what this is kind of doing, too, mm-hmm. man. It's taking classic, you know, American comics language, the bombast and vulgarity of your average comic, and, you know, using it to a certain effect.
Man, and he's coming out like, this is the New York Stock Exchange. This is where the police have drawn the line. This is what they're going to try to protect from damage. He also plays with scale really well. So you see, hey, I've got this giant size comic book that I'm making. We want to show destruction on a massive scale. Let's show these figures small. Let's try to take advantage of this huge canvas.
Do you assume that he just drew it on 11 by 17 paper and it got shrunk down, you know, just, you know, set 80% or something?
I didn't find any info on that. I'm not sure. You know,
I'm going to have to ask him.
Yes.
He's really good with providing feedback whenever we have questions.
Question number one. We have a whole list of these questions we could put out there. So this guy shows up and he's destroying the city. And guess what? Captain Maximum coming to the rescue.
Great name.
Love the setup too, you know? Like, he is using that language, that those speed lines, which would make sense in manga, but are also a staple of superhero comics to kind of show that dynamic coming to the rescue. And whenever he gets there, he recognizes this guy, Basher. It's an old teammate.
The unevenness of the lines makes me think that those are hand-drawn.
Wow. I think you might be right.
Like with roller, of course.
Yeah, but... yeah. Yeah. If I were doing something like that, what I would do is tape that page up either this way or this way, mm-hmm. and then T-square, just exactly. Write a T-square.
Exactly.
So fairly generic characters that are going to be squaring off in this fight. They do have a history, and basically Basher has been scorned, and I think it's by Captain Maximum, his girlfriend. You know, Captain Maximum gets the girl, Basher, well, he doesn't get over it, and so the fight is on.
Long history of, like, superhero deconstruction in comics going back to, like, the Wally Wood super-duper man.
Right.
And this makes me think in those terms, you know? Like, if this comes before Watchmen and Brat Pack and shit like that, its cartooning forefather would definitely be, like, a super-duper man.
Yeah, and we should say publication-wise concurrent with Watchmen. But, you know... me saying that in the beginning is just to say, like, this isn't in response to Watchmen. It would have been like something's in the water. And look, 1986, Dark Knight Returns, you know, that revisionist kind of way to look at superheroes. I'm glad you say it. That's not what I thought of immediately, but that's exactly what this fits in.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good context for this. And so right off the bat, the guy punches him, and now we see Captain Maximum. The effects of that punch is him sailing blocks and blocks through buildings, causing destruction. It's fun that it's set in a real city, so you get to see things like the Flatiron Building.
Yeah.
I don't know how this would be received now, post 9/11, where you get to see, like, you know, parts of New York City being destroyed. It's a different, you know, it's a little bit of a different thing, but it's cool to see real landmarks. Like, it makes the fight better.
Can you go back just one real quick? Because you had the Flatiron Building, and then, you know, here's 34th Street, now we're on 42nd. Like, the geography...
yeah.
It's something that McCloud is kind of keeping in mind. I think there's going to be something in the back to kind of show us the map of where, you know, like the Dave Gibbons, Rorschach walking up the stairs in that building. There's a version of that here.
A lot of Watchmen parallels here. Really fun, though, man. Fun cartooning. surprised that that's nobody had come up with this concept already. You know, just a giant fight scene in an oversized book. It's so obvious once it happens.
And it says it all. Like there was when Alex Ross and Mark Waid did their Kingdom Come story, like it was trying to like kind of cut promos on like the Image kind of aesthetic and shit. And it's like this took care of that, you know.
I would love to see the Image guys, like one of the Image guys, adapt this. You know, imagine what that would look like. But this is great. You know, he's really good at maximizing the size, using this oversized to just deliver this. It reminds me a little bit, too, of like The Authority 15 years later, you know, where it was the idea of like big, wide storytelling and superheroes as like these larger than life characters. So Captain Maximum, he recovers and now it's his turn to punch Basher. And they're doing the exact same thing to each other, too, as the other critical piece, you know, that critical analysis of the superhero genre or iconography of the superheroes, like they're the same, you know, like they're going to destroy this city together. This is a dance that two people are participating in.
Right.
More of those parallel lines, Ed, mm-hmm. that I think you're right about those being drawn.
Yeah, the interesting thing about these ones, I see some variation in line weight, so mm-hmm. it makes me think that he's using a dip pen on the big ones, on like this.
Now you're going a bridge too far for me. I can do a rapidograph with a T-square. Dip penning on a straight edge is not a fun thing to do. And you can see some of the lines don't quite make it, which further adds to, I think those are hand-drawn.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just 9-panel grid, comics language, fight, fight, fight.
It feels very pop art, you know?
Right.
Like very Lichtenstein.
It is fun that he's using, you know, like Empire State. Is that Empire State Building top? That he's using as a you know, as a weapon. He's broken this thing off, and now he's using this as a weapon. But it's fun to be able to have like those different landmarks.
Right.
Kind of helps give you some visual interest. Keep that visual interest in what could be a somewhat monotonous. You know, it's just a fight scene. So whatever you can do to keep it exciting from page to page. It's just large amounts of destruction.
They don't bury the lead with the title of the story.
No. Fun lettering effects, too. And he's credited in that first page splash as being the effects letterer. These would be fun. I would love to see these pages in person, especially if they're drawn a little bit bigger.
Yeah, for sure, man. Very, very cool textures and ink here.
He said that this was an idea he had for a while for a comic and just didn't have time. I like this effect. So as things are like jarring and shaking around, you'll see the line the globe. Stuff. Man, how about that for a 2-page spread?
Yeah. When you have a big-ass comic like this, man, like let's get some big panels in there.
Yeah, that's a great, really impressive shot.
You know, like when that big Kramer Zergot came out, everybody like used that big page to try to tell a 22-page story on one page and use a lot of small panels. Or like, you know, like Matt Groening is the guy who's like, let me just do one big-ass crazy image.
Reminds me a little bit of like Jeff Darrow mm-hmm. in the sense of like, I don't know, scale, I guess.
Yeah, sure.
Scale is something that I don't catch a lot of in typical Marvel DC comics. It's a hard thing to pull off. It's something that I think Mobius really kind of figures out, and then cartoonists start to adopt some of his techniques to make that work. But it's not something I see very often, and I see it in this comic a lot. Like several of these panels that really feel like, you know, that reminds me of the Chris Ware thing where you have this little figure and a pretty detailed piece of architectural drawing around that figure.
Yeah, you think of, you know, Superman jumping off the top of the, you know, the Chris Ware Superman jumping off the skyscraper and landing and everybody kind of mobbing around.
Directional device going into the next page.
There's a Jaime Hernandez energy to this. Like McDaniel, like he can't, you know, academically draw as well as, you know, he can't construct the figure quite like Jaime can, but there's like the spotting of the blacks and like the kind of clean line and the sort of acting.
Yeah.
Feels Jaime to me.
Yeah. Look how effective that is whenever you strip everything out. Now you have this panel. It just stands out on that page, you know, on the spread, you can see it on the monitor. It just stands out. And this is the woman who they're fighting over. So she shows up and gets injured, which just escalates everything.
As it should.
Madman, this is your fault. You'll pay for this. So now we have Captain Maximum stepping up a notch.
looks like the letterer is using one of those chisel tip markers where you could get like the flat side.
I agree with you. Yeah.
And those are the, like, those come in they're calligraphy pens, mm-hmm. calligraphy markers.
Here's a tip for everybody. Draw with those. They can be real fun. That's a Jim Moff who told me that, and it's very fun. I added a couple of those to my box of drawing tools, and I think he got it from Ashley Wood, maybe.
He's amazing. But,
it's a fun drawing tool. It's kind of different having that chisel tip.
Everybody Google Jim Mahfood toothbrush in a YouTube and check him out drawing with a fucking toothbrush. The guy's a madman.
I just love this. All the big lettering. It's like the sign kind of lettering. And I don't know whether this is done by the letter or by Scott McCloud.
Right.
Whether this is like effects lettering.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't know. It's pretty well integrated in with the illustration, especially where you have like rubble and stuff, hands, fingers sticking out over top of the word balloons. So
you know what's interesting is this looks pasted up.
It does. These two T's are exactly the same.
I was looking at the E's.
This T also. Yeah, the E's you can see the same too. Talk about dumb minutia. And I guess like if you look here, well, maybe not.
Yeah, because the D's are different.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like a dumb thing to paste up. You know,
it
could
does.
Just draw it with a heavy hand.
But you know what? Like, maybe it's like you paste it up because you're going to have, like, shit going over top of it. And you don't want, like, because, like, maybe these guys are pasted on top of that.
This is such a weird thing that we're looking at. Like, these two destroys look photocopied. And maybe based on this, you know, you can see, like, the little notches in the D. Even the edges of the E's are kind of the same.
Right.
Maybe he had a handful of destroys that were photocopied in different sizes that he could paste down. The mysteries of making comics. And look how uniform this looks.
Yeah, that looks like a screen.
Yeah, look at this. This is great. So Basher's getting ready for his big move.
It's going to give him all up.
This is just pro wrestling, by the way. This whole story, the way the fighting goes, it's totally out of a pro wrestling match.
Yeah.
I'd be curious about that, like how McCloud put together the actual fight, because it has that kind of ebb and flow, and your alliances change partway through and stuff. But love this setup. Nice city backdrop, although there should be smoke and things billowing from all the destruction.
It's a very clean city, it's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like have little smoldering piles of shit here and there.
But this is great. The big wind-up punch.
Great use of black on
punched him to the moon!
Love it.
It's so cartoony, has the little explosion when it hits the moon. Now he's up there yelling, but it's in a vacuum, so you get no words in the balloons.
Right.
So much fun.
I think his dad was a scientist, man, so...
Smart guy, no doubt about it. And then coming back from the vacuum of outer space and the words start to come back for destroy.
Now, before we turn the page, let's because like this whole motif was done by Kaze Shinobu in Ryu, the Strongest Man on Earth. And we know how that played out.
Oh, man.
So let's see how McCloud stood up to this.
Pretty, man, you're raising the bar with that, Ed.
Not bad.
Pretty good.
Not
good
bad.
Use of the two-page spread.
Not bad.
Yeah, that's the formalist in McCloud there, you know, taking advantage of that size. Look, man, building's just being cut in half.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty good.
It's crazy. Like, I'm seeing a face here. I'm seeing, like, eye, nose, cavity, teeth, chin. I know he didn't do that, but I see it there.
Yeah. Very, it's good stuff. I think that's, I'm satisfied with that payoff. I like the debris falling, too, from the sky.
Dude, when I was a kid, I put a fucking M90 in a VCR that broke, and it was raining parts for long enough for me to develop the thought of, like, please stop, please, 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 because, like, it was just raining parts down on our head, and it wasn't stopping, and it was giving me fucking anxiety, because I was waiting for, like, the biggest piece to just, like, fall and fucking hurt something.
That's funny.
Fall on top of a car and get us in trouble or some shit.
So, puts him under arrest, he wins the fight, or the good guy wins, and the mayor's like, well, at least no one was hurt.
I know, right? That's comics.
The end. And here's your map, Ed, that you were talking about to show us, like, where the fight was happening. That's a fun tip for doing something like this that's set in a specific location and actually using a map. And you know what's funny? This reminds me of a lot of Paul Pope's early work would have these like weird diagrams and maps in there. Wonder if any of that is influenced and coming from here.
Yeah, that's a good question, man. And check this out, man. You could get destroy pages for 80 bones.
Oh, look, they're big. 17 and a half by 24 inches.
Ah, there it is.
Scott doesn't have to answer us now.
Right. Man, super cool. Good to put this baby under the microscope.
Fun comic, right? Like, they just, I don't know, man. It's this is one of those things that I love about comics, is finding this kind of stuff, digging around for old issues.
Absolutely, absolutely. And for those playing at home, if you can't find the big one, in the dollar bins, you can find a 3D regular-sized issue of Destroy in those back issue bins, too.
Look for the big one, everybody.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, Favors, like, follow, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Hit the bell. We'll notify you when the next vids are available. Octobrion is in stores now and available digitally on Comixology and Jim's website. Patreon.com/EdPiskor is where I'm serializing my Red Room comic strip. New strips pop up every Tuesday. Issue 1 is up there now. $3 gets you the archive.
You can subscribe to the Cartoonist Kayfabe e-newsletter at the links below this video to keep up with everything we're doing. You can find Cartoonist Kayfabe t-shirts and merchandise at the links below this video.
Give them those marching orders and let's balance, Jimmy.
Read more comics.